strong and mighty.
Lord, our God is strong and mighty.
Lord, our God is mighty.
Lord, our God is mighty.
Of triumph. Shout like you've read the back of the book and we won. The back of the book says that we won, so shout with a voice of triumph tonight.
Him tonight. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and with a dance. We're going to dance tonight. We're going to grab a timbrel. The Bible says that Miriam, when they were on the other side, she grabbed a timbrel and began to dance before the Lord. Praise him with stringed instruments. Praise him with organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals, the high cymbals. And the last verse of the book of Psalms says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing in the house tonight, you ought to take a lap. You ought to get up on your feet. You ought to clap your hands. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Think of the goodness of Jesus and all that is done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. You know, I should be 6 feet under tonight. I should be dead in a grave. But God's kept his hand on me all of my life. My mind goes back to the car spinning out of control. I'm behind the wheel. I had no control, but God stepped in. So for that, I praise him tonight. My mind goes back to the time I'm working on a battery and it blew up in my face. And acid was all over me. It burnt holes in my shirt. It burnt holes in the blue jeans, in my shoes. When I got home, I took my shoes off. I had holes in my socks. But it didn't touch me because, see, God had a hedge over me. God protected me. And someone in this house has got a similar story like that. You should have been dead. You should have been lost, but God's kept his hand up on you. If that's your story, you ought to give him some praise tonight. Chapter 16, we read, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They weren't quiet. They didn't just say a little, lay me down to sleep prayer. Oh God, I'm in this prison doing what you had me do. No, it said all the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. When God's people begin to pray, and when God's people begin to praise him, you'll shake the foundation. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Not just Paul and Silas's door, but the neighbor on the right's door, the neighbor on the left's door was open, and every band was loosed. Somebody in the house ought to praise him, not just so your bands will be loose, not so just your doors will open, but somebody's got a lost daddy that needs to come find him. Somebody's got a backslidden sister that they ought to praise God that he'll open their door and their bands will fall off. Take a few minutes to pray. We've shouted and we've praised. And I just read that Paul and Silas prayed. They didn't just praise, but they got down and prayed to God. So tonight we're going to go before God in prayer. We've got a couple people we need to pray for. Jenny is one. Doctor said she's got infection. And they're treating her for that. They're hoping they're not going to have to go in and go back in and do some cutting on her. Renee, would you stand in for her? Ladies, if you will, let's pray for Jenny tonight that all this infection will come out. Also, we need to pray for this family that just lost their son, Salinas's. Is that correct? Julius, if you'll stand in.
We want to pray for this family in their time of loss. I know they're going through a hard time. But we know a God that in the middle of a storm can say peace. We only have one announcement. Tomorrow we're going to pass out tracts around Smoothie Joe's for the third year anniversary. So if you can, we're going to meet at Smoothie Joe's at 10:30. If you could be there, that would be great. The more hands knocking on doors, the more tracts we can hand out. If you could be there, we're going to try to go from 10:30 to 12-ish. If you could give us a hand, that would be great. After tonight's service, we have pizza next door. So everyone here is more than welcome to come and eat pizza. But tonight we want to welcome, all the way from Center Point, Alabama, Adrian Isabel. I'll give him a hand clap.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah, mighty God, you're worthy to be praised. Mighty God, we lift you up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, young people, I can't hear you. Lift up a shout of praise right now. Lift up a cry of praise in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, we didn't just come to play church, but we came to have a moving of the Spirit in this house. We came so that chains can be broken. We came so that bondage can be set free in this house. We came so that miracles can take place in this house. Let's give God some praise. Let's give Him some worship. Let's lift Him up right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Before we get into the word tonight, why don't we just all over this house lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, offer up a prayer of repentance right now. Ask God to forgive you of everything that's not like Him. The Bible says He will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. Not only that, He will remember them no more. So it'll be as if they didn't even happen. So just right now in this atmosphere of praise and worship and prayer, just offer up your hearts. Mighty God, forgive us of everything that's not like You, God. Wash us, purge us, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, God. Look on us with mercy, God. Look on us with grace in this house tonight, mighty God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Your name, God. Glory to Your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message I'm going to preach to you tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, comes off a thought or a concept that God planted in my spirit as an 18-year-old young man. I was driving home from a youth service, much like this one, was praying to God, just talking to Him, and He began to speak to me, speak in my spirit, and it stayed with me all these many, 12 years. And I knew at that point that I would one day preach a message based on that thought and based on that concept. It's been many years, and at times I questioned God and wondered, God, will it ever happen? But it has happened in His timing and in His will. And tonight I'm going to preach that message to you based on that thought, that concept. Over the years, I've heard Brother Sutton talk about this and preach about this. And tonight I'm going to preach a little bit about it. A couple of months ago, God began to grow this word in my spirit, began to expound on it in my mind, and began to I began to sit down and put pen to paper and write out the words that God wanted me to speak. And I didn't know when I would deliver the message, but the past couple of weeks, I felt a heaviness in my spirit. This message has been on me pretty heavy the past couple of weeks, and Dawson preached a couple Wednesday nights ago, and then even Brother Sutton the past couple of weeks, they've been preaching, and it's kind of been all up in my notes. And I knew at that time that I would be preaching this message very soon. And tonight is the night to preach that message. And I'm going to do it to the best of not just my ability, but as the Holy Ghost begins to move through me. Because I'm just a vessel. I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering the message that God has here tonight. And I'm just the donkey He's choosing to speak through tonight. But by the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to minister to you tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to take a text from Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read verses 14 through 21. And if you don't have your Bibles, the media team will help you and get those scriptures up on the board for you. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive. Sorry, I got a sticky note in the way here. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Let's read verse 15 one more time. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One more verse of scripture for our text. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Let's lift up our hands and pray right now. Ask God to help us. Mighty God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your presence I feel here in this place, God. Pray that you would anoint this vessel, God. Help me to speak forth the word that you've given me here tonight. Help me tonight, God, to deliver this message, God. Anoint every heart to receive it, every ear to hear, God. Pray that you would do it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated, stand, whatever you want to do. God created man with the will, which is defined in one place as the power of choosing one's own actions. So ever since God created Adam, man has always had a choice. God placed the tree of the knowledge of the good of evil in the middle of the garden and told Adam not to eat of it. For if he did, he would surely die. Now God had told Adam that he could eat from every tree except for this one. And in doing so, he gave Adam a choice to make. God could have surrounded this tree with one of those security fences that have the barbed wire on the top. He could have placed vicious guard dogs in the front of it to keep Adam away. He could have placed the tree in some far-flung corner of the garden so Adam would never have to see it or even think about it. But God didn't. He created it and he placed it right in the middle of the garden. Not only that, we read later in the story when Eve is tempted by the serpent that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise. You know, why didn't God make this tree ugly? Why didn't he make it with a gnarled trunk and just twisted up branches and the fruit of that tree to have thorns all over it or something else that wouldn't make it look so desirable? Why did it have to look so good? But the answer, of course, is because God gave Adam a choice. If he had created the tree the way I just described it to you, or if he would have placed some kind of security measure around the tree, then neither Adam or Eve would have thought twice to touch it. But they had to have a choice. God gave them a choice. Could go off here and preach right now about how sin always looks good. It always looks desirable. It always looks pleasant. The Bible says the pleasure of sin endures for a season. But I'm not going to get into that at this point anyway. We may get into that a little bit later here. I believe that Adam had to look at this tree every morning when he woke up. I believe wherever he slept, whether it be a tent or a cabin or some other place, or if he just slept out under the stars of the heaven, I believe every morning when he woke up, he looked at this tree and he saw this tree. I believe everywhere he had to go in the garden, every day he passed this tree. We find later on in the story when they see and God comes walking in the cool of the day looking for him. And I believe when God walked with Adam and Eve, they walked past this tree every day so that Adam could be faced with the choice of whether or not to eat from this tree or obey God every single day. Somebody said amen. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we're going to read those scriptures here tonight. We find where God calls his first disciples. In reading the scriptures where God calls his disciples, we don't find a place where any of them said no, but we find where all were called and all answered the call. Now, there could have been some who may have said no, and God may have just walked off and chose somebody else. We don't read about that, but the Bible says that not everything that Jesus did was contained in these books. The only book we have is the Bible, so we don't know if that's the case or not, but here we find where God calls his first disciples. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus gave the disciples a choice whether or not to follow him. All he did was walk up to them and say, follow me, and they followed. He didn't grab them by the arm and put it up behind their back and twist it and say, come on, follow me, you've got no choice. He didn't grab them by the nape of their neck. He didn't drag them by the ear. He didn't force the disciples to follow him, but he said, follow me, and they did. Now, he being God manifest in the flesh, he knew that these disciples would follow them, but yet he still gave them a choice. He gave them the ability to choose whether or not they would follow him. All could have said, no, thank you. I'm too busy. James and John could have said, I'm here working with my dad. I don't want to leave the family business. But every single one of them chose to follow him. All throughout the scriptures, there are choices made by men and women to serve God and to do what is right or to reject God. What if David had chosen not to fight Goliath? What if he had chosen instead to hide with his brothers and the rest of Israel? What if he decided when Saul was chasing him that the cost was just too great and decided just to disappear off the face of the earth, go hide up in a cave somewhere to rot and die? But he did not. Instead, he chose to keep believing, keep going after the anointing that God had called him into, keep running, keep surviving. If he would have done these things, if he would have hid, if he would not have fought Goliath, he would not have been called a man after God's own heart. He would not have been in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and he would not have been one of the greatest kings that Israel has ever known. Somebody said amen. What if Samson had chose not to tell Delilah where his power lay? What if instead he had chose not to even associate with her, have anything to do with her? What else could God have wrought with this mighty strong man? What else could God have done in his life? What else might he have caused him to accomplish? We could go on and on tonight with this what if scenario all throughout the scriptures. There are men and women replete throughout the scriptures who chose to either follow God or to reject God. Somebody said amen. You make choices every day, and most of the time you don't even know it. You choose whether or not to get up in the morning when your alarm goes off. I don't know about y'all, but I usually choose to hit snooze and go back to sleep for a little bit. Amen. I heard that. That's my strongest amen so far. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but like I said, I don't normally choose to get up. My wife drives her crazy, but, you know, that's just me. You choose what clothes to wear. You choose what to eat for breakfast, or if you even eat breakfast. Unless, of course, mama made breakfast, then you have no choice. You've got to eat it. You got to eat what mama puts on the table. Somebody said amen. You choose your friends. You choose your enemies. You choose what you're going to do that day. If you stay in bed all day long, if you just lay up on the couch all day and get nothing accomplished, most of your parents probably wouldn't allow that. But if you choose to do so, you have done that by your own choice and by your own decision. I've heard people say the devil made me do it, or so-and-so made me do it. We find Adam and Eve played the same blame game with God when he came and asked them about eating of the tree in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read Genesis chapter 3 verse 11 and through verse 13. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Now this is God talking to Adam after Adam finally came out from hiding after he ate of the tree. I love this verse because God knew that they had sinned. God knew that they had taken of the fruit and had eaten of it. But yet he wanted Adam to confess of it. He wanted Adam to admit his sin and admit his failure. Verse number 12. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is that that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Here we have them not wanting to take personal responsibility, but each one blaming the other. In verse 12, Adam blames Eve. And in verse 13, Eve blames the serpent. This is typical human nature, always wanting to put the blame on someone else for choices that you made yourself. Now, the serpent did tempt Eve, and Eve did eat, and then Eve did give to Adam. They were all correct in placing the blame, but at any point along that chain, any one of them could have said no, could have refused by their own will, by their own choice, by their own decision. They could have broke the chain, and they could have said, "No, I will not partake of it." But all were tempted, and all did eat. So the devil may plant the seed, or someone else may be using the temptations process, but ultimately the choice is yours. Let's look at what happens in verses 14 through 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Notice here, God deals out judgment upon all of them. All of them had a choice. All of them had a decision to make. All of them failed. So God dealt out judgment to all of them. He didn't just say, well, you know, this is actually all the serpent's fault. He's the one that tempted Eve, and he's the one that began this process. So I'll just deal out judgment to them. But he dealt out judgment to every single one of them. Why? Does anybody know why? That's right. They all had a choice. It was because of their decision, because of their choice that they make. They were each responsible for their own actions and for their own choices. Somebody said, praise the Lord. As you get older, you choose whether or not you go to college. You choose where you will work. Unless, of course, nobody else will hire you, then you just go work where they will hire you. You choose who you will marry. Hopefully, you pray about it. You seek counsel. But ultimately, the decision is yours. You and your spouse choose how many children you'll have. Then you choose how to raise those children. The bottom line is every stage of life has choices to make. Every single stage has choices to make. Whether you realize it or whether you don't, you make choices every day of your life, every stage in life. And you are responsible for making those choices, and you end up living with those choices. Some choices you can change your mind about if they don't work. Like jobs, if you go into a job and it doesn't work out quite well, you can look for another job. You can make a different choice. But other choices you have to live with the rest of your life. There comes a day when you must decide for yourself to serve God or not to serve Him. Just as He didn't force His disciples to follow Him, He's not going to force you either. Just like Joshua told the children of Israel, it's your choice. You've got to choose who you're going to serve. So also will God give you the choice. Some of you in church tonight are here because of your own choice. I look at Mario, Randy Hamby. You are here because of your choice. Nobody made you come. You didn't have parents who raised you up in this truth, but you have chosen to live for God. Some of you are here because your parents or someone else made you when you were younger come, but there came a time in your life where you were no longer serving God or coming to church because somebody made you, but you fell in love with God and you wanted to serve Him, and you made the choice and you made the decision on your own. I remember when I was younger, I wasn't quite 16, so I wasn't able to drive. I used to have my grandparents stop by and pick me up because they would pass by the house and they would be in church every time the doors were open. And not only that, they would get here 30, 45 minutes before church, and they would usually be the first ones in the parking lot. And I asked them to come pick me up because I love church. I love being here. Mostly it was because of the friends that I was going to see and the things I was going to do. I knew I was going to talk to so-and-so and see so-and-so. We might throw the football out in the parking lot, do some things like that. But there came a day when I fell in love with God, and it no longer mattered who was here. No longer mattered who I was going to see or what I was going to do after church. But I came into the house because I wanted to worship God and I wanted to hear His word. And then when I was able to drive myself, when I got my license, I had another choice to make because now I had the will. And I could come to church every time the doors were open, or I could decide to just go somewhere else and do something else. But I chose to be in the house of God. I chose to be in the house every time the doors were open. And still today, I still have a choice whether or not to be in the house of God. Every day, every time we have service, I have a choice to make. Do I come to church or do I stay home? Now, granted, sometimes life may throw you a curve. Somebody in your family might be sick. You might be sick. You may have to work. But every other time, you have a choice whether or not to be in the house of God. And you make that choice, whether you stay home or whether you come to the house of God. Somebody said amen. I've made up in my mind a long time ago that there is no other choice. This is the only way. This is the only choice. So for me, there's no turning back. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I've seen people choose this life. They choose to serve God only to have life with the devil persuade them to make a choice to turn around and walk out on God. As I said before, it's their choice and their decision. They like to play the blame game, as we talked about before with Adam and Eve. They like to say, oh, somebody else's fault. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody did me wrong. But it is their choice, and it is their decision whether or not they live for God. They made the choice to turn their back and walk out on God. Sometimes they choose to come back. Sometimes they don't. Thankfully, we serve a merciful God. So if they do decide to come back, He's here with open arms. He's waiting to restore them and put their life back together. But I always have to wonder, I always ask the question, what did leaving God cost them? What miracles did they miss out on? What blessing did it cost them? What would God have done in their lives during that time frame where they had chose to turn their back on Him? I've seen others who can't make up their minds. They come in here, they sit on a church pew, act like everything's okay in their life, and they don't respond to the presence of God even when He's drawing him. They might be saying to themselves, I've even heard it out of some of their own mouths, one day I'm going to come back and live for God, just not right now. What a dangerous choice to make. What a dangerous decision to make. I remember Brother Cody Marks standing in this pulpit last year and telling a story about a friend of his who chose to play basketball, seek a scholarship, and seek the fortunes of the NBA rather than choosing to live for God. And every now and then after a basketball game, he would go into the locker room, and as he was sitting there by himself, the Spirit of God or the presence of God would breathe into where he's at, and he would feel God's touch, God's anointing, God's calling. And he would just say, no, God, not right now. God, I've got this going on. I've got this going for me. Someday I'll come back and live for you, just not right now. But eventually it got to the point where he told Brother Marks that now even when I go into church, I can't feel the presence of God. What kind of choice are they making? What kind of decision are they making? In our text tonight, we read Joshua 24, 19, and 20. We'll go back and read there again. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. It's talking about God here. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive their transgressions or their sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will do you hurt and consume you after he has done you good. Let's also read Hebrews 12, 16 to 17, if you'll help me get that on the board so they can read it. Here we read about Esau. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. God is merciful, but he's also jealous and angry. We don't like to think about these attributes of God, but you can get to a point where Esau, where you've rejected God so long that finally he rejects you. You have to be careful what choices you make. Let's lift our hands right now. Just ask God to help us. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we love you. Give us direction, God. Help us tonight, God. Hallelujah. When I began to get into this message and began to put pen to paper as God began to give it to me, I felt that this message is a message of destiny for some. For some, it's a call to a higher level. And for some, it's a call just to leave some things that you've been messing around with, some things that God has already been dealing with you to say, let alone, but yet you still decide to hold on to them. And I feel destiny in the house tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel God's presence mightily. So what kind of choices are you making? Are your choices pleasing to God? The Bible states in Psalms chapter 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The writer says, I will, which denotes a choice that he is making. Other words, he is saying, I choose to set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It is my choice, and I choose not to look on anything that is wicked. So again, I ask you, what kind of choices are you making? What kind of music are you listening to? What is on your iPod or your MP3 player? What video games do you play? What are you setting before your eyes? Is it pleasing to God? Or are you watching things you aren't supposed to be watching? Are you going places you shouldn't be going? Are you listening to things you shouldn't be listening to? You may think no one is watching. You may think no one knows, but God is watching, and he knows every thought. He knows everything that is done in secret. He knows the thoughts and intents of your hearts. So are the choices you are making pleasing to God? The devil was created with musical instruments in his being. And I don't know, I may be wrong in this, but I don't read anywhere in the scripture where God took away his musical ability. Dawson, Steve, and Reggie, if y'all have seen it, you can correct me. I've not read anywhere where God took away the devil's music ability. I believe he still has his musical ability. He was created to give praise to God, but now he is actually using his musical talents to draw people away from God. Some say he was heaven's choir director before he was cast out of heaven. I still believe that his biggest weapon that caused people to follow is music. That's why the music industry is so successful. That's why everybody's looking for the next big musical star, while they're looking for the next American Idol. It's because the devil likes to use music. He likes to use the profanity of the worldly music to turn the hearts of them, to callous the minds of those. Music was created to give God praise, but the devil has taken it and he has perverted it. You know, I was thinking about this message as I prepared and began to think over my teen years and over my early 20s. And I can't think of any backslider that I know that first didn't start out listening to worldly music. They first didn't start out listening to worldly music. Music that's not pleasing to God. I can't think of one. All my friends who struggled in their teen years, it began with listening to worldly music, turning the dial to country, rock and roll, whatever was playing. It began with music. I believe backsliding, the first step to that, I believe, is listening to music. Listening to music that's not pleasing to God. So once you start listening to this music, puts all kind of thoughts in your head, things that aren't pleasing to God. Eventually those thoughts become actions. Those actions become a lifestyle. And before you know it, you are 1,000 miles away from God and away from his presence. It's a gradual process, but it's a very dangerous and slippery slope to begin to play and to dabble and listen to worldly music.
You know, but I just listen to love songs. That's all I listen to. I just listen to love songs. Well, let me tell you something. The world doesn't know anything about love. Are they singing that love song to their first wife or to their mistress? Somebody tell me. I know I'm getting on some toes right now, but God's giving me this message. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder. It gets down where you live and where you're at. So who are they singing the love song to? Are they singing to their first husband or their fifth? The world doesn't know anything about love. How can they sing about love when they're living with a wife? They got somebody else shacked up on the side. Come on, somebody. Anybody listening to me? Recently, Steve McNair was shot by his girlfriend and heard what a great man he is. Oh, he's just such a great man. But yet he had a girlfriend on the side. What? I mean, that's not a great man. That's a man who is cheating on his wife. God intended marriage for one man, one woman, for the rest of your life till death do you part. So I don't want to know what the world says about love because they can't tell me what love is. The only one that can tell me what love is Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, there's some good songs out there and they're not all bad. You know, that may be the case. I've heard the analogy used this way for television, and I believe it fits in with music as well. You know, there's a lot of good food that's thrown away at restaurants. But I'm not going to go to the back of Logan's and go rooting through their dumpster looking for a not-so-bad steak. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm not going to go rooting through the filth that's out there in the other music and try to find one of these not-so-bad songs. And not only that, what other songs are these artists that are singing these not so bad songs or these okay songs? What else are they singing? Come on, what other songs do they sing?
I'm really going to get on something here. Y'all really going to like, but I can't get away from it.
I'm going to say it like this. Godly young people should not be playing Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Can I get an amen in the house? What's the point of the game? It's to be a rock and roll star. It's to play ungodly music. That's the whole point of the game. Why should you put that in front of you? Why should you play that if you're not going to listen to it on the radio? Why should you play a video game that's the only thing that it's about? I played it. I know it's fun. It's fun to sit there and beat on the drums and act like you're a guitar hero. But it's not godly. And it's not pleasing to God. I played it because I wanted to see if how I originally felt about it was right. And as I'm sitting here playing it, and I'm seeing the lyrics go across the screen and I'm hearing it, I'm like, why do godly young people sit in front of this and spend hours of their time playing it? All they're doing is pumping worldly music into their brains and into their heads. Anybody ever got a song stuck in your head you couldn't get out? So why sit there and listen to it over and over again? Yeah, it may not be a bad song, or it may not talk about drugs or alcohol, but what else does that artist sing? What kind of spirit is attached to that artist who's singing those songs, who's made those songs, who wrote those songs? And while I'm on it, I can't name every video game. But Grand Theft Auto is another one your godly young people shouldn't be playing. The whole point of the game is to steal people's cars and to kill them. Why would you want to play that? Why would you take pleasure in that? Why would you spend hours of your time in front of that, putting that into your spirit? You may not realize it, but there's something attached to that. There's a spirit attached to that. And it's getting all over you if you spend hours in front of it, playing it or watching it. Come on, somebody. This is a call to step up. This is a call to leave aside some things, some weights that have been dragging you down. God's got some great things for this youth group, but we've got to lay aside some things. We've got to say no to some things. We've got to turn our backs on some things that aren't pleasing to God. We've got some choices to make. Not only that, there's a spirit in our world that says holiness is not important anymore. That you don't have to do all that. You don't have to have all those rules and all those regulations. But I read in the Bible where it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I read where we are a peculiar people. You can't be peculiar if you're living the same way the world's living. You can't be strange and separate from them if you're doing what they do and going where they go and playing where they play and listening to what they listen to. So there's a call in the house tonight. There's choices to make. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to cast stones at you. But I feel the calling in my spirit. What's been heavy in my spirit the past couple weeks is it's time to make a choice. I didn't say the title at the beginning of this message, but the title is, it's time to choose. It's time to make a decision. It's time to lay aside some things that have been troubling you. There's been some things that some of you have been dealing with that God has told you to lay aside, to leave them behind, but yet you're still dabbling in them. It's time to leave those alone. It's time to make a choice here in the house tonight. It's time to choose between heaven and hell. It's time to choose between the world and the church. It's time to choose between God and the devil. Let's give him a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. So the gauntlet is thrown down here in the house. The line's been drawn in the sand, so to speak. There are choices to make. There's decisions to make. There's a call to step up your game, so to speak. Got that from you a couple Tuesday nights ago at prayer. You got to step up your game. It's time to step it up. It's not time for us to be weak-kneed. It's not time for us to be just so-so, just lukewarm. But it's time for us to be set on fire. What we're doing here tonight is we're having an ignite service. And to ignite something, you set it on fire. It's not time to be lukewarm. It's time to be set on fire. It's time to burn brighter than you've ever burned before. It's time to live for God harder than you've ever lived for God. It's time to pray more than you've ever prayed. It's time to worship more than you've ever worshiped. Come on, difference, young people. If you want to truly be a difference, if you want to truly make a difference, you've got some choices to make. You've got some things to set aside. I know Brother Sutton hasn't preached specifically about some of the things I've just dealt with, but we've got to get past the point where this pulpit and our pastor has to tell us everything that's right and everything that's wrong. You've got to have your own convictions. You've got to have your own relationship with God where God can breathe into you and tell you, this is not right. You don't need to be doing this. But God, Brother Sutton hadn't preached about, I don't care. You don't need to be doing this. You don't need to be going there. There's choices and there's decisions that you've got to make. It's time to choose here in this house tonight. Musicians, you can come. I'm getting ready to close. I promise you, the choices you make, when you choose to live for God, what you're giving up is nowhere near what you're going to get in return. It doesn't equal what you get in return. So the word of God in the house today is it's time to choose. It's time to set aside those things that aren't pleasing to God. They may not necessarily be sin, but they may be weights that are holding you back from the potential of what God wants to do in your life. He may have called some of you and has spoken to some of you specific words about what he wants to do in your life, but there's some things you have to set aside in order to get there. They may not necessarily be bad. They may not necessarily be sin. You may not go to hell for them. But in order to get where God wants you to go, in order to be the difference in your school and in your life and in your family and in this church and in this youth group, is to make some choices. Cut out those things that aren't pleasing to God. Cut out those things that are weighing you down. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you want to make a decision tonight to live for God, and not just live for God halfway, not just lukewarm, but there's some things in your life that you know that you need to set aside in order to be where God wants you to be, this altar is open. Just begin to give him those things that he's been dealing with you about, the things that you feel are weighing you down in this house. Just go ahead and give those to him right now.
You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Choices to live for God and to do what is pleasing.
There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles. There is no one else like you.
press into it.
There is no one
we can stop right now,
like
but I feel
you.
A need to press into this.
There
press in the prayer.
No
begin to let that Holy Ghost flow through you, young people.
Like
you want to be a difference
you.
In your school and a difference in your family. Pray to God right now. Seek His face.
Hallelujah.
It's time
you
to make choices.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
And the honor, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great.
Come on, young people.
You do miracles.
The presence of God is
so great.
He's calling
there
you.
There is no
He's telling you,
like you,
choose me.
There
make those choices.
No
there's great things
like
I want to do
you.
In your life.
You
but you have to lay aside those things that are
you
dragging
do
you down. You have to
so
lay aside
great.
The weights that have you held
there
back.
No one else
give those
like
to him
you.
Right now. Come on, somebody, press into it.
There
press into it.
No
He's not finished here yet.
Like
He's not
you.
Done.
You are great. You do miracles. So great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah, Lord, you deserve the glory. As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. Would I lift my hands and worship as I bless your holy name? You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no
come on, young people. I've seen you get lost in worship. I've seen you get drunk in the Holy Ghost of worship. Can you do the same thing in prayer right now? Can you get lost in prayer? Can you get drunk on His Spirit through prayer? Come on, lift Him up. Let's not be so quick to rush past this. There's a sweet presence of God in this house. He is ministering right now. He is dealing with some young people right now. He's calling them to a higher level. Let's not rush through this.
Where do y'all want to go right now? There's such a moving of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. You can shut this down and you can go eat pizza if you want. Matter of fact, I suggest to everyone who wants to go ahead. Keep playing, LaTiffany. But there's a move of the Holy Ghost right now. And the word of God has gone forth. Somebody unplug these little bright lights on the sides for me, on both sides. God is whispering to hearts and minds in this house. I need some young people to... There's a lot of people waiting to see what's going to happen next. It just happened. A man of God stood in this pulpit and delivered a timely word for this youth group right now. And if your heart hasn't been pricked yet, then I ask you now, say, God, tell me, show me, convict me. What's holding me back? What thing do I need to cut loose of? What thing do I need to let go of? Ask him in the house. And if he hasn't already showed you, he'll reveal it to your heart. But the chances are, while Adrian was up here preaching, you had a little thought go through your mind. And you said, oh no, not that. That's not really messing with me too bad. That's not a bad thing. But that's what the man of God was preaching to you about tonight. Revisit that thing right now. If God's asking you to let go of anything, yeah, it's time to make a decision. This isn't about being saved. This is about my potential in God. This isn't about will I go to heaven or not, but this is about who can I reach and who can I touch and how far can I go in the kingdom. You just want to be another Pentecostal that squeezes in the gate? Or do you want to be outstanding in the kingdom? The choice is purely yours tonight. The man of God said, it's time to make a choice. Make a decision. Let there be a cutting away. Young people, let's get a little bit desperate in the house. Get a little hunger going deep down inside. God, I don't care what it takes. I've got to be everything I can be in you. God, I don't care what it takes. I've got to go higher than I've ever gone in you. In the house, but only if you let there be destiny in the house. There's destiny in the house, but there's only destiny in your life if you let there be destiny in your life tonight.
Everybody, for just a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For just a minute. I felt God say this just a minute ago. God has given impressions in this service tonight of things that impede your progress spiritually. There are some people in this place tonight that know very specifically the item, the thing, the object that stands in between you and a dynamic prayer life. The very thing that stands in between you and power in God. You can see the imagery. I can see the imagery of some things in this house tonight that stand in between some individuals and the anointing of God. Every eye closed for just a minute. Put your hands out in front of you. I want you to take that thing that God has spoken to you about and place it in your hands tonight. Can you see it in your hands? That impediment, that thing that interferes with you drawing closer to God. And by choice, I want you to bring it down to the altar. I want you to walk it down to the front, and I want you to lay it on the altar. And as LaTiffany begins to play, I want that to become a cry tonight before God. I want that to become your worship, to become your sacrifice tonight. Come on, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Give it to God. Walk away from it. Come on, somebody. You don't know what this choice means. You don't know how far-reaching this moment is. Place it on the altar. Give it to God. Say, God, it's not worth my soul. God, it's not worth my destiny. Come on, I don't care where you are in the house. Bring it down to this altar tonight. Let it become a cry before God. Let it become your sacrifice. Lift up a cry to heaven tonight. Give it to Him. Don't ever look back. Don't ever look back. Lay it down at an altar tonight. Let God have it. A broken and a contrite heart will He in no way despise. Break your vessel tonight. Come on, somebody, pour your spirit out before Him. Say, God, I don't want it. God, if it interferes with a relationship with You, God, You can have it. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than fame and fortune. I'd rather have Jesus than popularity at school. I know what you're dealing with. The school year just began, and there's a tug on your heart to conform. But you know the thing that God spoke into you in the midnight hour. You know the cry of your heart, the hunger and the desperation to be used by God. Come on, somebody, pour it out. Pour it out tonight. Don't stop till something breaks. Don't stop till something in you moves. Don't stop. Come on, push. Hallelujah, Jesus. God's still waiting on somebody tonight. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, God's still waiting on you. He's standing here tonight. He's standing at your door and he's knocking. God is calling you tonight. He hasn't looked over you. You know what it is. Lay it at this altar tonight. Telling you in the Holy Ghost, you have no idea how far-reaching this service is. You have no idea how far-reaching this moment is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody, find somebody to pray with tonight. Come on, link up with somebody. This is an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sweep over us, sweet Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let intercession break out tonight. Come on, let that break deep down in your spirit. Come on, break open your vessel, Mary. Pour out that precious thing before God. Come on, young ladies, travail in this house tonight. Let it reach into the heavens. God, do you hear this? This is your people, God. We want to know you in the beauty of holiness, God. We want to touch your throne, oh God. Break. Come on, somebody, break it. Break your vessel. Let deep cry unto deep at the noise of his water spouts. That's it. That's it. That's it.
And you can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms.
Oh, drink deep tonight.
Take
come on, drink
to
deep.
Place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me.
Somebody find a secret chamber. Come on, keep climbing. Find a secret place where you've never been before. God, show. show us a new dimension. Open our eyes, oh God. Take us, God. Take us, God, to a secret place where I've never been, God. I want to see you, God. I want to know you, God. I'm not satisfied. Take me, oh God.